Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. We're still studying end times, and this morning, Lord willing, we want to talk about the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21 and 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The sentiment of the people on the earth is getting more and more anti-God. There are no atheists during this time of the Great Tribulation. We've already determined that. They'll be hiding in the dens, in the caves. Save us from him, the wrath of the Lion, the wrath of Christ. In this passage we just read there, he talks about in verse 20, and you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That was when Jerusalem was overthrown in 70 AD. Then it changes things. Verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations, not just upon Jerusalem. Perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. This is the end times. Revelation chapter 16 tells of Babylon's destruction. Babylon is worldwide. Just like the harlot at Rome has its headquarters, it operates on a world scale. Revelation 16 and verse 19. This is at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 16 talks about where he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. That's destruction on all of Babylon. The times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar and ends with the Battle of Armageddon. Not to be confused with the fullness of the Gentiles, we'll cover that also. When the vials are sent upon the world, chapter 16, verse 2, and the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And anyway, that covered the worldwide Babylon, and God's wrath was upon them. In Revelation 1 and 7, we're looking a good bit at Revelation. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall be on him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. This is for sure Christ, and everyone sees him. Okay, you're out there seeing the armies gathered for the Battle of Armageddon, and in a heartbeat, the King of Kings breaks through the clouds. Back to Revelation 17, there's something that's puzzled me for years. Verse 14 of Revelation 16 speaks about the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world, and gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. But notice what follows. Verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." That doesn't seem to fit there, but that it does fit there. Because just that abruptly, when you have the Antichrist mustering his armies together, Christ returns as a thief, unknown. The world wasn't looking for him. They was looking for the Antichrist. And Christ returns. God's Word gives two whole chapters, chapter 17 and 18, to the enemy. Mama Rome and Babylon. Mystery. They're tied together. Nimrod, thousands, millennia before, attempted a one-world government. This man of sin will have a one-world government. Babylon is said by many to have been destroyed long ago and is out of the picture. But in truth, it was never really destroyed. It lingered on, it came and went, but this time it will be totally destroyed. In the days of Elijah, this is a real good illustration of what that time is going to be like, the times of the Gentiles. You see, the times of the Gentiles means Gentile dominion. That wasn't the way God made it. Israel was to have dominion. It was to be the head and not the tail. It was to lend money, but not to be borrowing any money. In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah, whom even the Jews are looking forward to his return at any minute, he's one of the two witnesses. When he combated the false prophets there on Mount Carmel, it's in 1 Kings 18. Verse 21, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." The end of the times of the Gentiles will be very similar to that. It's hard to believe that God's people could fall that low. We've read about the 144,000 that prophesy for 42 months in the Revelation chapter 11. Verse 8, we have read this before. We'll read it again. Verse 18, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come at the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give a reward to the servants, the prophets, and the saints, to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the Ark of the Testament." That's where it is. It's not on earth. "And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Now, go over to the first verse of that same chapter. "And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God." Now, a rod in Jewish language means chastening. That's what the rod is used for, to chasten. Over in the book of Revelation, this the second chapter talks about, I mean, it's this very same exact time. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what they're doing this time we're talking about, gathering their armies to fight against him. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They actually think they can defeat him. They must. As verse 8 asks of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. God will have his kingdom, and he's going to rule it with a rod of iron, as the saying goes. We think about Elijah's ministry was to preach to false teachers and against false teachers and false prophets. It's exactly what we face now. Now turn to the book of Joel, the second chapter. You have the book of Daniel. You have the book of Hosea. Then you have the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath never, not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. Isaiah chapter 13. I know we've looked at most of these passages, but Isaiah 13, verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Sounds exactly like what Christ said. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their sight. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. What that's saying there, there's going to be that few men. We've determined that easily half the population dies. I believe it's a lot more than that. There's not that many wedges of gold, and you're going to have the same number of men. It's not going to be many people left. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. That's needed. Because you see, as David wrote in the Psalms, the earth is off its course. When the flood came, it would be my guess, the earth was knocked off its original axis. Scientists tell us that the axes of the earth are continually moving. They don't stay in the same place. They know a true true north and a magnetic north. And the earth is off its course. Well, here it's going to be knocked back on its course, which will be for the good. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in that day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe and a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one to his own land. Ain't going to be no atheist. They see who this God is. It's the one that they've rejected. As one writer put it, this is God's rescue of the world, finishing at Armageddon. In the book of Daniel, the second chapter, when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he told him about the image, and that image follows the times of the Gentiles. Like I say, it started with Nebuchadnezzar when he overthrew Jerusalem, which that would have been about 606 B.C. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, which was the next kingdom. His belly and his thighs of iron, of brass, which was the next kingdom. His legs of iron, which was the next kingdom. His feet part of iron and part of clay. The legs are long, the longest part of the body. That's the times of the Gentiles. Goes contemporary with it. And times of the Gentiles is followed on in the East and the West, the hemisphere. We live in the West. Not much mention made of that in Scripture, but it's very fitting. And thou sawest that a stone, which was Christ, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. It gets in more inferior. The gold, of course, is worth a whole lot more than the iron and the clay. We read in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. But this is not the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles are longer. 77s, 490 years. But if you study the times, they can get confusing. The thing is when Israel's out of favor with God, he does not reckon time. He reckons all things by Israel. Now, I mentioned there was a fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles is the Gentiles that are saved. There's going to come an end to that. We're in the reign of grace. We worship on the Lord's day. We're not under the Jewish law worshiping on the Sabbath. We worship on the Lord's day, the day that Christ was first worshiped as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The fullness of the Gentiles come in, everything goes back to Israel being the head and the Gentiles being the tail. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. There's going to be one last Gentile lamb that's called, by God's grace. At that time, you're going to have the taking away of what we call the rapture. The reign of grace ends. This is also seen in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Yeah, that's not the passage I wanted. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with mind I serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. That's not the passage I was wanting. But go turn over to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 talks about what we seen there in Revelation 16, a measuring stick. In Daniel chapter 12, there was one measuring the city. Daniel 12, verse 6. And one said to the man clothed with linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed with linen, which sat upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it should be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years and a half, that's 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. That's the times of the Gentiles. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now we've looked at that. That's the part that wasn't written. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that, and from the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, roughly 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. What's this getting at? You survived the great tribulation, because that's at the end of it. The first part's mentioned, then he mentions the last part. They're separated in 7 years, separated in two, but one might say, how come the days aren't the exact same number? Because you have the purification of the temple. Blessed is he that waiteth that cometh to the 1,335 days. The temple will be must be cleansed. These times, as I said, of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar. In 2 Kings chapter 25 and 8, it tells about when Nebuchadnezzar entered Jerusalem. Now, he besieged it for about three times in 19 years, but on one particular day, it gives a day in the year. 2 Kings 25, 8, it talks about him besieging and overthrowing Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 27, verse 5, the Almighty speaking, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it unto whom it seemed meet to me. And word in passing, the leadership we got in Washington, God allowed it, or else you'd have somebody different, regardless if it was a corrupt election or not. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's sons, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Even the book of Daniel, part of it is written in the Aramaic. The Old Testament, all with this exception, is written in the Hebrew originally, showing that times of the Gentiles, they estimate 606 B.C., Gentile dominion began, and it's still going on. We're looking for its ending at any minute. As there had been a dispensational change at that time, with the conclusion of the 70th week of Daniel, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, burning for burning. Revelation 11, as I mentioned, speaks of the rod. We read there in Psalms 2. Christ will rule with a rod of iron. Isaiah chapter 28. They thought, or they should I say, they think, because this is still yet future, that it's going to come to pass. In Isaiah chapter 28, let's start on verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. The Antichrist is going to make an agreement with the people of Daniel, the Jews, for the 7-year agreement. We read that in Daniel chapter 9:27, and halfway through the week he's going to break it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, and precious cornerstone. And this is truth. They made an agreement with lies and error. But read on, a sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hell shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death and hell, death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge pass through, ye shall be trodden down by it. They're not going to escape. Back to the book of Revelation, 11th chapter. Everything we observe there, the altar, it was Jewish. The church is mostly Gentile. It's gone at this time. It's not to be seen, but these things are Jewish. Verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The man of sin is going to have Jewish ties because he comes in his own name, and for some reason, somehow, they accept him as their Messiah, as their king. He must have some Jewish relationship, I don't know. But this outer court, it was Gentiles. Gentiles were permitted to walk in the outer court, but they couldn't go no farther. They'd be put to death. Like I say, this is all talking about a temple, which is what we come down to at the end of the times of the Gentiles. There has to be a temple there. It's got to be one. Where's it going to come from? They're going to have to build it. Are they building it now? They're trying to. They've got a lot of things over there. Most people think that's the Dome of the Rock, and we've touched on that before. It looks to me like the temple was on the sides of the north, according to what we read in the Psalms. Isaiah 13:1, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from one end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And we read the rest of it. Zechariah chapter 2, still in the Old Testament, which there's a lot of great prophecy in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. I lift up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand, talking the same thing. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, and to see what the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. Behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went to meet him. And he said unto him, run, speak unto this man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Christ will be the protector of Jerusalem. He will be their walls. He it is that redeemed them. Isaiah 26, verse 1 through 6. Isaiah has so much to say about this particular time. Isaiah 26. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. If they're being protected without walls, they ain't going to need them with Christ. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. This is all things point to Christ. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, and the lofty city which he layeth it low. That's Babylon. Remember, Babylon said, I'm not a widow, and I'm not going to suffer any. It's going to be laid low. Even to the ground, even into the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Verse 14. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made their memory to perish. That's what he's going to do with Babylon and all that's left. Remember, we looked over there how all those goodly things are be found no more at all. Thou hast increased the nation, thou hast increased the nation, thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far from the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble they have visited thee, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with a child that draweth near the time to be for her delivery is in pain and crieth with her pains, so have we seen thy sight. O Lord, we have been with child, we have been in pain, we as it were brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake, sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dust of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. That's an amazing thing. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about them. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation overpass. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for her iniquity, The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. There must be in a temple, however. If you think about it, what's in the temple? There's the furniture. There's the laver, the water pots that you wash in. The altar. The altar of a new temple is an insult to the Lamb of God because Christ is our altar. Altar is where sin was taken away. There must be a new temple. Are they building it now? As I mentioned a while ago, they're trying to. 2 Thessalonians talks about the man of sin. And like I say, we're talking the end of the times of the Gentiles. Second Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. There's been a departure of the truth. There are many that are antichrist today. That man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. He's not going to be revealed until after we're taken off the earth. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There's got to be a temple up there. The Jews will make an agreement with this man of sin, and as we've read, it's going to be broken midweek. And then at the end, there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. We've basically looked at all these things before, but this is the end of the times of the Gentiles. Then everything goes back to what is stated there in the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it's chapters 28, 30, 32. All the promises that was made then will be fulfilled. I'm doing this by memory. And it shall come to pass, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you into naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. That's what happened when they rejected God and worshipped idols before Christ. What's happened after they said, let his blood be upon us and on our children? History books tell us. We all heard at great length what happened in Germany in the 30s and 40s. But at the end of this time of the Gentiles, they shall be the head and not the tail. The Lord will bring thee into Egypt again by ships, for the way that I spoke to thee, thou shalt see it no more again. Thou shalt be sold unto your enemies. That's what happened to them. That same passage. The Lord shall establish thee as an holy people to himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give it. The Lord shall open to thee his good treasure. The heaven shall give rain into the land in season, and to bless the work of the hand. I mean, you look at the place now, it's a desert heap. He doesn't send the rain. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to do to thy right hand or to thy left to go after other gods to serve them. Makes common sense to obey the word of the Lord. Said best, and we'll close with what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. When you think about what we studied there in Revelation, how it ends, the effects of one sin at the end of Revelation still not eradicated. Anyway, that's all I have for this morning's lesson.